Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, Pet Life Radio fans. Welcome to Cat Boss and Friends. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm your host, the original Cat Boss, Trish Seifert. And I'm joined today by Allie Beckett and Courtney Vogt. Thank you both for co-hosting on today's episode.
Thanks for having me back.
So happy to be here. Can't wait to talk about our topic today.
Awesome. So in this week's episode, we are going to be talking about the resources we can use while training our cats and how to use them effectively. Knowing how to properly motivate your cat is the very first step in starting to train your cat and on their journey. So sit and stay. We'll be right back after this message.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us, Cat Bosses. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, the only place that you can tune in and make your cat's life better together. In the last episode, we busted the myth that cats can't be trained. And this week, we want to talk about finding your cat's motivators and the tools you can use for training. So, Allie, I'm going to go to you first. Can you explain to our audience what I mean when I say tools for training?
Yeah, for sure, Trish. So tools are anything that we use in training to help us train our animals. So for just like in any other occupation or hobby, things like if you're building a house, you might use nails and a hammer, or if you're painting, you might use paint and a paintbrush. List goes on. In dog training, we have lots of tools. We have treats and toys, environmental rewards like sniffing the grass or chasing squirrels or whatever. We have our leashes. We have different types of leashes. Like we have slip leads. We have lots of different collars like flat collars, e-collars, prong collars, gentle leaders. The list goes on and on. And there's different ways to use lots of those tools. So toys, you might play fetch or you might play tug. There's lots of different ways to play with your dog and lots of different food, etc. When training cats, though, our resources or our tools are a little more limited to things like we have our food rewards, we have our tactical and verbal rewards. So that's like, oh, good boy, good girl, and pets and stuff like that. We have environmental rewards, such as taking them out for a harness walk. And then we have our ways that we mark behaviors that can be motivating for them. So for dogs, we have a variety of different tools and the ways we use them. But for cats, it's a lot of emphasis on reinforcement and motivational tools and how and needing to find the right things to motivate our cat to help teach them. And because of that, we are the main provider. We should be the main provider of most, if not all, of those resources. So when we give those resources freely, we can actually cheapen or devalue that reward. And so it's important that we are very careful in how we are giving out the things that our cats find valuable in their life.
Yeah, you know, one of the most important valuable assets we have in cat training is food motivation. Like everybody needs food to live, right? So therefore, food is one of the easiest things we can use while training to motivate your cat. And despite this, we often hear things like, my cat doesn't like food, my cat won't work for food, my cat's a picky eater, and so on. But maybe one of those describes your cat. So let me ask you this. How often do you feed your cat? And if you feed them once a day, are you setting the bowl down and then refilling it when it empties? Or do you measure out their daily allowance and then split that into two or three meals throughout the day? Or you might even get the 3 a.m. slap in the face. Your cat wakes you up to feed them and then you happily comply. you know, one of the easiest and quickest ways to improve your cat's food drive is to stop free feeding them and then put them on a feeding schedule. So, Courtney, can you tell our audience a little bit about free feeding versus meal feeding, and what are the benefits to putting your cat on a schedule for training, for eating, and then how all those things like, you know, health and behavior management follow when you start to do things like meal feeding versus free feeding?
Sure. What free feeding is, in case some people don't fully know what we're talking about, I'm sure everybody knows, but is when you basically just leave a bowl of food out for your cat 24/7, or you have one of those bowls that fill itself, that empties, it keeps it full. So that's kind of what free feeding is basically your cat has access to food at all times. And meal feeding is when you actually measure out how much your cat needs to eat throughout the day, and then you break it up into meals, and then you offer them the meals. And if the cat doesn't finish their meals, then you can take the food away so that they're not having a bowl of food sitting there and they can hunt whenever they want and find their own food and be independent, like we talked about in the last episode. So that's kind of the difference between free feeding and meal feeding. There's a lot of benefits to meal feeding. And the biggest one we also talked about last episode is health. If your cat has access to food at all times, it may take you a day or two to realize that maybe your cat's not eating as much as it usually does. And that could be a red flag that there's something going on health-wise. To me, that's one of the most important things, because as being someone who worked in the veterinary industry before, the faster you can find a problem and get it taken care of, the more you can prevent like some serious medical problems that cost a lot of money to fix and may not even be fixable if you wait too long. So it's really important to be able to catch health problems right away. And one of the biggest, in my opinion, is by monitoring the amount of food your cat is taking. If your cat's taking less food, and you'll know right away if you're meal feeding and you put your food down and the cat's not really eating, then you know right away that there's something going on. And there's also other reasons too, when it comes to behavior. It can be kind of boring for a cat to live 24/7 in an apartment and have no access to different enrichments. And then also their food is always in the same place. It's always available all the time. It actually can add a bit more boredom to your cat's life, where they're not looking forward to something. They're not like, I really look forward to my supper. You know, tonight I'm going to have a great supper and I look forward to that. But if the food's available at all times to me, I don't look forward to that as much. And it adds to some of the boredom of the day, which can cause behavioral issues.
Well, now I'm thinking about supper, so thank you for
that. I hope it's a good supper.
I'm always thinking about supper.
Okay, and then, you know, another thing that just kind of came to my mind when you were talking about that, we were talking about kennel feeding before, and that plays in with meal feeding as well. And that brings me to, you know, a super important point is safety. And when you're meal feeding your cats and you're crate training your cats, teaching your cats to run to their crate for their meal can help save their life. If, God forbid, there's ever a fire or, you know, emergency, you have to get your cat out, the very first thing they do is run and dart under the bed. That's what you don't want them to do. So meal feeding can definitely help with that by teaching your cat to kennel up every single day for their food. So I think safety is another huge one.
That's such a good point. I didn't even think of that.
Thanks, Courtney. So how about, can you give our audience a few pointers on the best way to even start meal feeding if they are free feeding right now?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing you need to do is figure out how much your cat needs to eat every day. You could start by asking your vet what is appropriate weight, and then ask them their recommendations on how much they think your cat should eat. If you just acquired your cat from a rescue or breeder, you can also ask them what the cat was eating and how much they were eating. And that can also help give you a kind of a starting point. I don't recommend to go off the recommendations of a bag, because every cat is individual and they all need different amounts of food. They need a different, like, you can't just go by, oh, my cat weighs this much and the bag says to feed this much. You kind of have to go by what the cat in front of you needs. And like, the great starting point would be to ask your vet or the rescue or the breeder as a starting point. But then from that starting point, you need to also decide what's best for your cat. Cats don't actually require as much food as we think they do. A couple tablespoons of wet and a handful of dry twice a day, plus some treats, is usually good enough for most adult cats.
Yeah, for sure. What I was going to say is that cats in the wild, they would only be successful in catching food like twice a day, and the meal size would be about a size of a mouse or a bird. So really just that handful of wet and that handful of dry and then a couple tablespoons of wet, that kind of does the trick.
Yeah, and if the food is available, the cats aren't going to regulate themselves. We have to regulate for them, because if the food is available, they're just going to eat it. Most cats are just going to eat it.
Well, and that's why you have a lot of cats that people say like they won't try wet food because they're picky eaters, or, you know, they're addicted. That cats can be truly addicted to dry food and they won't eat anything else. And that's just all carbohydrates. You know, it's not a lot of moisture. It's not a lot of protein. So it really doesn't give your cat what you need nutrition wise.
And especially if you're not getting a really high quality food as well, then it's actually like eating McDonald's every day. And if you have access to McDonald's every day and it's easy and it's always there and it's always available, likely you're just gonna eat it. So it's the same with cats. Kittens do sometimes require a little bit more than adult cats, and they're usually more active, so they need to eat more. Adult cats tend to be a little bit less active. It depends on each individual cat and the breed too, because some breed of cats, like a Bengal, they're very active. So it's going to depend on your age of your cat and the breed of cat and kind of the activity level that your cat likes to. If, you know, if they like to sleep all day, then they may not need as much food. So regardless of the age of your cat, as long as you're not increasing their intake, they should be good. It's just the most important thing that we're trying to explain is just not to leave food available all the time.
Yeah. So what would you do? So like if you are putting a bowl of food down, how would you transition to going into meal feeding?
So you can set a timer. Again, you'll know your cat. Like my cats eat quite fast when I feed them, but some cats are a little bit slower, and it's going to depend on their teeth as well. Like if they are older and they maybe have their teeth are less healthy, they might eat slower. But you kind of watch the timer and you know, okay, my cat's going to finish this much food in, let's say, 10 minutes. And if they don't finish that, their full amount that you gave them, you can just take that food up and then offer it to them at the next feeding. And then that also kind of gives you a good point of where you need to, like how much you need to feed them.
Because if they're walking away, they're like, okay, I'm full. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And if you're giving them, let's say you start with like a quarter cup, like I know that's probably way too much, but like if you start with a quarter cup, let's say your cat eats so much and then, you know, then they're done and they don't want any more. And then you take that away. Then, you know, that was way too much food. I can give them less. So then you're also not wasting food too. And you kind of start to adjust your feeding depending on how much your cats are eating, and also watching your cats too. And watching their weight and making sure, you know, oh, my cat might be looking a little bit thinner, so I might add a little bit more food, or, you know, my cat looking a little chunky, so I might reduce a little bit of food. So the nice thing about meal feeding is that you get that opportunity to adjust the cats, how much they're eating, by just watching them, watching how much they're eating, watching their weight and how much interest they have. If they're like scarfing that food down, like they haven't seen food in a week, then maybe they're a little bit too hungry. So, and then if they're eating quite slow, especially for a young cat, then maybe they're a little bit too full. So you can adjust the food that way. So what I usually say is just add amount of food, watch them, see how they're eating it, and then take that food away after, let's say, 10 minutes. And then you can offer that food at the next meal.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Those are all great tips. And, or, you know, like we were talking about before, is like you can take that kibble and put it in your pocket if it's not mixed with wet food, of course, but you can take that kibble and then work your cat throughout the day, you know, so that they're not just getting the free bowl of food when you put it down. Or you can ask them for a sit or some basic behavior when you put that bowl of food down for them when they're meal feeding. So those are all great points. And, you know, I think it's so important to closely monitor how much your cat is getting. Like you were saying, if they're not eating their meals when you set it down, you can try things like mixing their wet food and dry food together. Or, you know your cat best. So maybe they like wet food, but they don't want it mixed with their dry food. You can keep it separate. So whatever your cat prefers, But it's definitely best to not change things too drastically. I know people get excited. They're like, oh, I got to switch my cat from, you know, free feeding to meal feeding. And I got to do it fast. But switching from free feeding to meal feeding, you know, it might take a week or two. So definitely be patient. Don't rush your cat. But here are some ideas you can try to enhance this, you know, if they're not eating it, if they don't want the wet food, but you really want them to eat the wet food, you can try heating it up. You can try crunching some dry treats or putting some tuna on top of it, even cutting up chicken or sprinkling some flavor enhancers like ProPlant Probiotics has a really good product that actually enhances the flavor of the food for the cats. And then I use something called BioCoat where they get the extra vitamins, and it's B vitamins, and it's sort of like that yeasty kind of flavor. And so cats really, really love that. And it helps boost their coat and their vitamins and their overall health. So there's definitely things that you can try to enhance your cat's food if they don't want to eat it all right away when you're asking them to. But yeah. So Courtney, also, what about, you know, ways to evaluate your cat? Can you talk to our audience about that and how, you know, what if they don't know how to tell if their cat is overweight or underweight? What are some things that they can do to evaluate that?
The best way to evaluate your cat is just by assessing their waist and their abdominal. And they should have like a bit of a tuck. The waist should dip past their ribs. You should be able to feel the ribs, not necessarily see them, depending on how long hair your cat is. But if you have a really long hair cat and you see the ribs, that they're probably a little bit underweight. But you should be able to feel the ribs when you're running your hands across the cat. There are some charts online that you can look at that helps you assess your cat's weight. You can talk to your vet as well next time your cat is in at the vet and get their opinion of the cat's weight. But I'm really like, I really watch my cats constantly. And what I do is I find sometimes they go up and down in weight depending on, let's say, the time of year or how much I'm training them. Sometimes I've got a show coming up and I train them more than usual, so they get lots of treats. So then I find they start getting a little bit on the chunky side. So, and then I adjust their meals accordingly, or I try to add their meals into the training rather than just use like lots of treats. But yeah, just constantly watching them. And I'm always upping and reduce, like adding more food or reducing food in their meal feeding, depending on what I want for their weight at the time. And if you do have multiple cats, doing the kennel up is so easy to monitor how much they're getting, because, you know, you could be putting food down, and especially if you're not watching them and one cat finishes faster than the other, it might go over and steal a little bit of extra food from your other cat. So if you can feed them separately, like in a kennel, that helps too when you have multiple cats. And then it's a little bit easier to monitor how much they're eating and what weight they're at.
Again, that's one of the most important behaviors that you can teach your cat, especially when we're talking about taking your cat to the vet. One thing that people make, you know, they make a huge mistake is they never take their cat anywhere, and their cat crate only comes out when they go to the vet. Well, they hate the vet. So it's like, why the heck would I get in that crate? If you want me to go to the vet, they're going to poke and prod on me. Why would I do that? So it's important definitely to, you know, do things like meal feeding in their kennels, and then taking them, just moving the kennel around the house first, and then maybe putting it in and out of the car, not actually going anywhere, so that you can, when you do have to finally make that vet trip, it's not that big of a deal. Or you can take your cat to the vet and then not have anything happen. So you just come right back home and then make sure they're getting all their favorite treats there at the veterinarian. So definitely, you know, that is a helpful tip and trick for getting your cats acclimated to the vet so that you make your trips to the vet fear-free.
Yeah, my vet always has to turn the water on to get my cats to stop purring so much when they're trying to listen to their heart, because my cats absolutely love going to the vet. And so, and they actually go more than usual, because when we were, every time we work on a show, we have to get a health clearance on them. So sometimes my cats will go to the vet like 6-7 times a year. And it's just as simple as they're just getting a health exam. They're not getting any vaccines or anything scary. So that actually is a bonus for me, because it gives me the opportunity to take my cat to the vet, and they get pets and they get attention and they get treats and they get, you know, their food at the vet. It's a really positive experience for them. So then when they do go to the vet, my vet has to walk them over while he's trying to listen to the heart. He has to walk them over and turn the water on the sink to get them to stop purring. And it doesn't freak them out. They just stop purring. So then he can actually hear their heart. But yeah, otherwise my cats purr too loud when they're at the vet.
That's a super great trick. I love that. I have that problem as well. Well, and mostly because we teach our cats to be so friendly with everyone. So they are going to be purring at the vet. So that's a good trick. I'll have to use that one next time.
Yeah, it works every time. It gets them enough to stop and they'll listen like to the water running, and then they stop purring enough so the vet can hear their heart and their lungs.
That's awesome. Yeah, folks. I mean, so, you know, you heard it from Courtney and myself, and you'll hear a little bit more from Allie later, but, you know, take your time with it. Your cats will eventually get it. There's no need to rush in transferring them from going to free feeding to meal feeding. So they'll get it. And in time, you can encourage them to just start taking food out of your hand so that you can start to work those little tricks that you want to teach them. But you guys are probably wondering what we use to train our cats and what are the best treats to train with. So we have definitely put in the time trying tons of different things, new things, but our goal is definitely to cut that discovery time out for you guys. So we're going to give you our tips and tricks on, you know, the best treat rewards that we use for training. But before I mention any of my favorite rewards for treats, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, you really know your cat best, and each cat is unique. But I'm kind of lucky in that way. I don't have picky cats. I can usually use the same thing on multiple cats. You know, it's not always the case for some people. Some cats are strict dry food eaters. Some cats are strict wet food eaters. It's just, you know, but we feed a combination of both because it's a definitely a balanced meal. We find that, you know, adding the protein, fat, and water content through wet food is super important. It helps to actually build lean body muscle. The pet food industry actually has that in reverse. They pump like the idea of dry food, and then they teach the idea that wet food is a treat, and it's just not true at all. But you know, you're gonna find out what your cat responds to the best, and that's the most important thing. And that can also change over time. Just because your cat is a dry food picky eater doesn't mean that they won't eventually like wet. And people I hear all the time, they say, well, I've tried every single wet food, but try some of the things I mentioned before about putting some things on top of the wet food, heating it up, and try to entice them to get that wet food in, because it's so, so important. But yeah, pay attention to what your cat responds to in each situation too. It might be different. I definitely don't think you have to exclusively train with treats. You can use their meals like we talked about before, broken up in small amounts. So yeah, it's definitely important what Courtney was saying is when you're training, you might find yourself using more treats than you would like to, but you just have to take that and subtract that away from their meals as well so that they're not getting chunky. But we did a job for ProPlan, and if you go on YouTube for Purina, you can find, you know, there's some of our Cat Boss TV cats were in the videos with the vets, and they're explaining how to assess your cat and their weight. So that's definitely something to be cognizant of.
Yeah, the weight thing is especially important. It can quickly get out of hand either way, of especially when you're changing up their food, of either the cat loses weight or gains weight. I noticed recently that my new foster, who is much smaller than I'm used to my other animals being, was putting on quite a bit of weight from the amount of extra treats I was giving her. As a rule of thumb, you're only supposed to give, treats should only make up about 10% of your animal's daily intake, and make sure you're adjusting for that and stuff. But I noticed that she's highly food motivated, so I was able to start using her kibble and just sticking it in. I'd measure out, she's small dog, she eats about a cup a day total. So I measure out a cup, I throw it in my treat pouch, and then I have her treats for the day. And if she has any left after training at night, I put it in her bowl and she gets to eat that in her kennel. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. So I personally use a mix of treats for a variety of reasons. I use dry treats when I'm teaching my cats like calm behaviors, such as sit. I'll place a treat down on the mark after I lure them into a sit position. And then I toss the dry treats over their head and release them, you know, to break from the behavior. But I also say break. I give them a command break before I let them chase it down. But yeah, so then I put the treat down on the ground so they're not swatting your hand. It just depends on what you're working on. If you're working on a stay, tossing the treats away is not a great way. You want to take the treat and make the stay more valuable. But tossing treats away is a great way to reset the behavior by releasing them to the environment. If you're teaching them to hunt down their food, that's fun. It actually helps to build their drive and enthusiasm and engagement to return to you for more. So, but you're just know that you're, when they return to you, that that treat has to be more high value. So my hands down favorite dry treats are Friskies Natural Yums, because they're like, because of the size, they're almost shaped like a clover and the cats like absolutely go crazy for them. So I love that. But dry treats can be seen as a lower value treat to your cat, and low value treats definitely have their place for training, like I was talking about before, but you'll know what your cat considers to be low or high value by their attention level or enthusiasm towards a certain treat. So you'll kind of gauge and see what your cat likes the most. And if your cat has trouble focusing on what you're asking them to do because you have a high value treat like chicken in your hand, you can try offering a lower value treat like dry treats first, because some cats are just over the top. They go, they're like, hey, you have that chicken, I cannot focus on what you're asking me. But you know, high value treats are really useful in highly distracting environments. So when you're teaching a new difficult behavior or there's a lot going on and you need more active response, I use a high value treat. But yeah, so I don't know about you guys, I also play like hunting games with my cats. I'll crate them up at night, especially when I can't train. I'll turn off the lights and I say, let's go hunting. And then they're watching me put the dry treats all over the place. And I scatter them around and then encourage them to go exercise and have fun hunting out their treats. But they literally are talking to me the whole time I'm trying to put those treats out. Like, let me out of here, lady. I want those treats. But you guys do the same thing with your cats and dogs?
Oh yeah, my animals love hunting games and using their noses. I like doing, especially like you said, if I don't feel like training or if I'm not feeling good, I'll do hunting games and stuff. Like I'll hide it, if I want to make it harder for my guys, I'll hide it under a pile of blankets or in their beds or something like that, make them work a little bit harder. Something I also like to do, I call it my lazy trainer game, is like if I don't feel good and don't even have the energy to get up and hide treats, is I'll take a clicker and a bunch of treats and I'll just sit on the couch and I'll have my dogs offer behaviors, and then I'll throw a treat and they can chase it and come back and offer me another behavior, so that not only are they working their brain, they're also working their body, and I can just relax on the couch and be sick or whatever.
To be honest, I actually don't use bowls at all when I feed any of my animals. And I'm not even talking like my rabbit and my caged animals. I use their food as enrichment every single day. So another way you can use their dry treats or their food as enrichment is like using puzzle feeders. There's lots available for that you can purchase at a pet store. But if you don't want to spend money, there's so many ways you can make puzzle feeders as well. I actually taught a class on just cat enrichment, and each week we made up different things that you can find around the house to make puzzle feeders. Toilet paper rolls are great. You can cut them at different heights so that they have to like pull the treats out of them. There's lots of different things you can make around your house, things that you have around the house to make puzzle feeders if you don't want to purchase some. But there's lots of great ones you can buy at the pet store as well if you're not super crafty or, you know, you don't really have the time. Yeah, you can load the meals into puzzle feeders, or you can scatter them throughout the house like you had mentioned with your Let's Go Hunting game. I actually feed my animals, even my rabbit, every day scatter feeding. I never use a bowl, and I try to like make it challenging sometimes for them. I just find that they look forward to feeding time because it's fun for them as well. Not just getting your food out of a bowl. Every single feeding time is a little bit different. And it, when you are an animal that spends 24/7 in a house or a cage, this might be your only source of entertainment. It's not like you sit down and watch TV. Their entertainment can definitely be how you feed them.
Courtney, so off topic, my cats, I have a pet sitter video playing in their basement, and my black cat has memorized the entire video, knows when each bird will fly in, which one he goes after, which one he doesn't, where they fly out. And he'll actually touch the screen before they fly in the direction that they're flying. Like, he has had the whole thing memorized. And then whenever he, before his favorite scene comes on, he'll go up to the TV, turn, turn, meow, meow, like, because he knows that scene is coming on. I'm like, okay, dude, you had a little too much TV time.
So, I mean, sometimes they can watch TV.
Yeah, but you know what? I'd say overall, like dry treats, you know, they can be super practical and you can stick them right in your pocket, like we said before, as long as they're not mixed with wet food. Make sure that, you know, they're not going to spoil that way. But you have dry treats on you, you have your kibble on you. So when you call your cat over from across the room, you have a reward waiting, you know, or like if your cat likes a dart out of the house uninvited, you can actually use the treats to toss the treat in the opposite direction if you know your cat's going to do that. Toss a treat in the opposite direction to your cat opens the door, or teach them to stay on a place. You know, it's a great game to teach your cat so they're not going to dart out of the house, you know, but a game of treat toss can be super valuable in getting some exercise for a cat that is mostly sedentary, like Courtney was saying, if they're bored at home, for sure. But yeah, so yeah.
It's just, if you do keep treats in your pocket, make sure that you empty your pockets before throwing them in the wash. Trust me.
Oh yeah. My dogs have definitely discovered in my Cat Boss TV apron that I keep treats in there for the cats. And I just, let's just say that those, the clothes don't exist anymore.
I kind of have a funny story on that. Cause as you know, I just recently did a live show with my cats and I did 10 days straight of performing 4 shows a day with them. And so I gave them a lot of chicken. I was in a hotel that didn't have like a washer and dryer, like it didn't have a laundry room. So I was trying to like empty out my pockets every day because I was having like rotting chicken in my pockets. And then I came home and I was only home for 3 days before I had to travel again to do another show. And so I got home and I just literally took my clothes out of my suitcase, which stunk like rotting chicken, threw them in the washing machine. I threw them in the washing machine, washed them, put them back in my suitcase and left. And then my husband says, like, I can't even wash my clothes. There's literally like, it smells like rotting chicken. There's like chicken and like the little rubber part at the door, like in the doorway. It's like chicken, rotting chicken.
Yeah, my mom refuses to clean my training clothes now because she's like, you don't clean your clothes out well enough before throwing them in the wash. Most of my like training vests and stuff have been destroyed by a certain terrier that lives in my house. Unfortunately, all of them. I've gone through so many treat pouches and vests from that dog. So not that washing them's a big deal now because yay, dogs.
Well, leave it up to those meddling dogs. When we come back from our break, we're going to give you guys some of our lifestyle hacks that will help you on your training journey with your cat. We're going to talk about some of our favorite treats and what to do, believe it or not, if your cat doesn't like food or treats. So we'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting about different treats and how to find the right ones for your cat. So let's pick Courtney's brain about her favorite treats. Courtney, take it away.
Yeah, so like I said, right before the break, I had rotting chicken in my pocket. So chicken is probably my go-to one just because I find it's fairly easy to cook and it's easy to carry around with me. And it's very nutritious for the cats. When I'm traveling, I actually bring a slow cooker with me. And then every night at the end of the night, I actually throw in one piece of chicken breast in my slow cooker and then I cook it overnight. And then when I go to leave for either set or the show or whatever I'm doing, then my chicken is cooked and ready to go and it's fresh. And then whatever chicken I don't use at the end of the day, they just get in their meals. But usually I finish that whole chicken breast in one day. because my cats usually have to do a lot of work, but it depends on each cat. I use lots of different types of treats. Chai, when I first started working him on film sets, he really only worked for raw fish. It was terrible. I had to have raw fish in my training pouch, and I just tried to keep it as frozen as possible so it wasn't like really gross. And then when he got more experience on movie sets and stuff, he started really loving the work. And he's a cat that really loves the work, like more than any of my other cats. So he started using really whatever I give him. I can give him kibble now. I can give him whatever, and he's just happy to do the work. But yeah, we had to transition from raw fish to cooked fish and then to try other treats. So it's going to depend on each individual cat. Smarty Pants loves chicken. That's her favorite. Boiled chicken is usually better for them. They seem to like that better. Or my slow cooked chicken, rather than some chicken that's greasy and has lots of... like, you don't want to give them deep fried chicken or something like that. And the nice thing about slow cooking my own chicken is I know there's no salt in there. There's no added anything. It's just literally chicken and water, and that's all I use. And then so I know there's not a lot of extra salt or garlic or anything that I don't really want my cats to be eating. And then I use a lot of store-bought treats, and we have all of our favorites. I like I think they're called Party Time or Party. I think they're by Friskies. My cats really like those ones. And then I also will use canned food, and I water it down a bit because then it gives them a little bit of extra water, because sometimes when we're out on the road or we're out working all day, they don't drink as much water as I'd like. So then I water down some canned food, and then I also give them that as a treat.
Yeah, and I think you put it in the pouch like we do, right? So that way your wet food's on the go and they can just eat straight out of the pouch.
Yeah, and I like when they lick it, because I find, well, I don't know if it's the same for dogs. I haven't done the research, but in dogs, I do know that licking actually releases endorphins and can help calm dogs down. I'm assuming that's probably very similar to cats, because they do like to lick their fur a lot and they like to lick each other. And I'm sure it does release some sort of hormones that helps keep them kind of calmer. So licking treats is also a nice way to keep them like focused on that treat and distracted by the environment.
I would say without a doubt, my favorite treat of all time is their tiki sticks from Tiki Cat Food. And they're basically little pouches that have the chicken and water in there. And so it keeps the cats hydrated. But folks, I'm serious. If you've never heard of tiki sticks, like, you need to go to the store right now and go get them for your cat. I mean, after this episode, not right now, but that's serious about tiki sticks. But they are a very super high value, lickable treat. They're like individually little wrapped pouches. And so it makes it super easy just to put in your pocket or your bag or a training, especially when we're on the road. But, you know, the lean protein in the treat, as I was mentioning before, helps keep them at a lean body weight. And I prefer treats like tiki sticks, you know, and chicken, because it's a healthier option with less carbohydrates. And tiki sticks literally are just the way to go. Like, I've had cats that absolutely refuse other treats. Cats that are sick and old bounce out of their funk just because of a tiki stick. I've seen it. It's like a miracle worker. It's for sure. But Courtney, you were saying something about the cats, like, it's not good to have deep fried chicken, but there's, I got to tell you this story really quick. When my mom and I were trying to catch this mother cat and her five kittens, they were in a ditch, like in a sewer by McDonald's. And this cat was an older adult cat, and the McDonald's workers had been like feeding her forever, and no one could ever catch her. And so my mom and I were putting like chicken and wet food and all this stuff in the trap to try to catch her, and we just couldn't. So one day we went up to McDonald's. We're like, can we just have like some, can we have some of your chicken? Because clearly she doesn't like what we're offering her. But we had put the McDonald's chicken sandwich in there, and gosh darn it, she went in there, and God, we caught her in the trap, and then we caught all of her kittens, and all the kittens were like, we named them Ronald McDonald Flurry. But anyway, we definitely had to catch her with McDonald's chicken.
That's so cute. I wonder if she gets a lot of McDonald's now in her new home.
She does not. She actually looks really, really, really good. But I have another story in the meantime in another episode about, her name is Gigi now, and she's in a new home. But I'll tell you a story about how Gigi got loose in my house and got into the ventilation system. while she figured out how to pick up the vents and get into the ventilation system. So if that ever happens to you folks, I'll teach you an easy way to find your cat. That's in a future episode.
I have a story of losing Chai as a kitten in my wall. So that could also be part of that story.
Super entertaining, folks. So yeah, definitely going to be a lot of fun stories in future episodes. But I know you're probably thinking, cat bosses, my cat is just not motivated by food. I've tried meal feeding. They still aren't motivated by food. But Courtney, have you ever had a cat that just wasn't motivated by food? And then what?
Your cat may be food motivated, but other things can be a factor that can interrupt their motivation. So being sure that you are feeding an appropriate amount of food for their size. And we talked a bit about that before about with discussing with your vet and making sure that they're the appropriate weight. But there are other things that could be influencing their lack of interest in food. And it could be stress, negative events surrounding when you offer the food or treats, environmental factors that can create some food aversions. So try new foods out on them. If you haven't tried some of the treats Trish mentioned earlier, it would be beneficial to try to give that a try and see if that helps with their motivation.
Like our one of the cat bosses here, Superman, who loves peanut butter. I mean, loves it. It's crazy. It cracks me up every time. Who would have thought a cat like peanut butter as much as a dog, like, goes absolutely crazy for it? It's freaking hilarious.
I think Superman is a dog and a cat's body. Yes. He's like Courtney's super dogs. She actually has super cats too. You know, while we can train some behaviors without using food motivators, like very precise activities and movements are very difficult to train without a food drive. So, you know, try to do everything you can do to try to motivate your cat with food, because it's definitely the easier way to train and to build drive in your cat. But you can try using like even freeze-dried treats or new kibble you haven't tried before to try to turn it into a hunting game, like we mentioned earlier. But cats love to chase things, so throwing that food might just be the thing to get them going. But if your cat, you know, your cat should associate the new food with a positive interaction experience with you. So you might find that they're more likely to be motivated by the food if they're associating that positive thing with you, for sure, because you're taking that time to build a bond with your cat.
And if you still can't find food that will motivate your cat or treats or whatever you're trying, you can try to get them in the mood with toys. Some cats have such a huge toy drive, which comes from their hunting instincts. And there are a number of tricks and behaviors that can be trained by using toys. Toys are a great way to condition cats to harnesses and walking on leash, building confidence on elevated surfaces when in strange places, or even training tricks like back stalls or foot stalls, or obviously a game of fetch. Many behaviors that do not require precise movements can be trained with toys. You can use a play session to also build food drive. And I've got a little bit of story for that. My cat Smarty Pants, when I work her on set, she tends to not have as high food drive as some of my other cats. And I usually use a play session with her with toys prior to actually doing the behavior she needs to do on set. Always gets her in the mood. And then she tends to be more excited about the food and about the training after she's had a bit of a play session. So that can also help. And play sessions can also help burn calories and may trigger a hunger response or a prey drive. So like I said, with Smarty Pants to use on set, I do a play, which is definitely like her hunting and her prey drive, and it does build up her food drive or her excitable to work for food. So make sure that you are training at a time when your cat is more likely to be hungry or active. So don't wake your cat up from a nice nap in the sun to a training session with food.
Cats, I don't like to be woke up in the sun either.
Oh yeah, like cats sleeping under the sunbeam. All cats love to do that. It's probably the worst time to pull them out of that to do a training session. Cats do sleep a lot, sometimes up to 17 hours a day. So observe your cat's daily patterns and pick a time when they're typically more alert or active. And at the end of the day, although don't give up on the food motivation. So we would still want that food motivation, and we can use other motivators to help build the drive for the food, because you can't shape some of the tricks without or behaviors without the food.
Yeah, Courtney, I 100% agree.
Trish, what are some of the toys you use to enhance your training session? Like, what are your favorite toys that your cats love?
Yeah, so I love to use toys that resemble insects, like mice or birds. Like, I use a toy called Dubbird. I use Chris the Cat toys. They all look like amazing. Like, they have replicated insects and mice and birds. And it even sounds like, you know, some of the things that they would be hunting after. So I love Chris the Cat toys and the Dubbird toys. But some of my cats love the sparkly and shiny ones. But if you guys have ever been to a cat show, and some people don't even know what the heck is a cat show, it's confirmation shows for cats, but they have some of the most incredible toys there at cat shows. So when I buy toys, I always use those toys for training. These aren't toys that I'm leaving out for the cats to have full access to, because I want them to be fired up about those toys. So I keep them fresh and I only bring them out for training. And you know, cats can get bored with toys over time. So you just put them away and rotate them. But yeah, so definitely check out cat shows and their vendors for, you know, the fishing lures, they have real fur on them. They're safe materials, you know, that you just can't buy in stores. But and you can also research them online like Etsy or eBay. But so yeah, definitely toys are a huge motivating factor for my cats, for sure, especially when I want to get them moving fast, or, you know, like you said, Courtney, from point A to point B on set, where she's like hunting the mouse toy. They're super fast and drivey. If I want to get the cat's attention to look, if they're on a stay, and then I need them to get to look different directions at camera or off camera at me, I can use a cat toy and dangle it right at camera and they're looking right in the camera. So those are super useful ways to get your cat's attention with fishing lures and different shiny little cat toys. So yeah, for sure. Cat toys are huge for me.
So Trish, what about praise? I know there's lots of times that, you know, maybe we don't have a toy on us, maybe we don't have food. And I know for one of my dogs personally, like, he finds praise so valuable. Do you think praise can be useful with training cats too?
Yeah, for sure. Praise is a huge motivator for a lot of cats. You know, believe it or not, cats want to please you. Well, often when people say that, they just want to please themselves, but you know, they're happiest when you're happy. So, you know, and they're sensitive to your speech patterns too and your tone of voice. So I make sure that I'm always rewarding my cats, you know, with a sweet tone of voice, like, good job. And I always say their name. So I'm like, good job, Bean Bean, or something very positive, super sweet tone of voice, you know, to make sure that you're encouraging your cat to put their tail up, because that's a confident position. And then praising them when they do that can also be helpful in building a confidence. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely good to sweet talk your cat. I do it all the time, but just make sure that you're not using that tone. If you have to console them, like if they're afraid, I usually try not to console my cats if they're afraid. I try to just redirect them and then get them focused on something else and then reward that behavior. But like, it, you know, and sometimes it can even be seen, you know, if they're doing something negative and they're waiting for you to say no, and you're not paying attention to them, any action by you, it can be reinforcing. So you can be reinforcing a bad behavior just by paying attention to your cat, because, you know, ultimately cats want attention. They love being pet and acknowledged. But yeah, so definitely have to still be careful about when you're acknowledging your cat, how you're using your tone of voice. And even like, did you know that you can even, like, when you're laughing at your cat, let's say they fall and they miss a jump or something like that, or miscalculate a jump, they can actually feel embarrassed, and you can see them like try to rub themselves and try to console themselves. But it's important not to laugh at your cat even. But yeah, so like, I try to ignore it, or, you know, reward them for trying, but never laugh at them. But praise is, you know, it's a lot more than just verbal affection. Like, petting and holding your cat can be extremely rewarding for your cat. I mean, some cats don't like that. Some cats just prefer treats and toys. So just got to find what your cat loves the most for their best reinforcement. So, you know, those are just some other things that you can throw in your bag of reinforcements for tools, like we were talking about earlier. And regardless of what you choose for your reinforcement in your session, it's just always important to end on a good note.
Yeah, those are good points, Trish.
Well, folks, we are about out of time. Thank you so much, Courtney and Allie, for talking about cat treats and all the things that are motivating to your cats. And next week, we're going to discuss other things that you can do beyond treats and toys and praise to set your cat up for success during your training session. These are things like properly choosing your training environment and setting it up before you bring your cat in, picking the right time of day to train, and how to know when to end your training session so that you always end on a good note, and making sure your training session is something your cat is eagerly looking forward to and even begged you to do.
I agree. That's so important that the cats are also having just as much fun as you are.
Really looking forward to that next episode. That'll be a lot of fun to discuss.
So thank you so much for joining us. And I'd like to thank our producer, Mark Quinter, for making this show possible. Chat with you on the next episode of Cat Boss and Friends. High five, cat bosses.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.